Recording is on.
All right. The NH Exit Podcast.
Yes, and so this is this will turn into a podcast, but this is the event number two that Dave did. This is us starting to record the New Hampshire Independence Town Hall meeting audio taped on, how do you say this thing, Jitsi?
Correct, I guess.
It's like Brazilian or something like that. So
it's fantastic. It's like Skype for a free internet.
Yeah. So this town hall is open to what sort of people, Dave?
Well, I have tried to invite people who might be against the idea of New Hampshire independence. I've gone out of my way to find them, and I haven't invited a whole lot of friendlies because I don't want us to overwhelm them if I can help it. However, it's very good to see Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
So we are already recording. We are getting feedback on yours, Steve.
Oh.
How is that now, Dave?
I don't hear any feedback.
Okay, now it sounds better for me, too. Okay, I think it's nice and clean now. Okay, yeah, we just started, Steve. And, you know, we were talking about how we're going to invite, you know, obviously we're going to have friends of NH Exit, right? People that like the idea of us splitting up peacefully. And then we could have the curious join us, right, that have questions. And we could have opponents or people that have concerns, like last week or 2 weeks ago when we had Chaz and Renee asking questions and posting concerns, right? And then we can deal with them. And we might have good answers. We might have no answers, you know, that sort of thing. So what was the, and then until some other people come up and have questions, what was that latest project you were working on, Steve?
Oh, yes. The Club 75 Alliance. It's a proposal I have that Free Staters, those friendly to the idea of secession, team up with people whose income is just a little bit above average. And really to encourage not just libertarians, but anyone whose income is a little bit above average. And 75,000 is my threshold. To move to New Hampshire and just push for no income tax.
Yes, yeah. And that's one of the things that I've been talking about is, of course, as we talk secession, you're also hand in hand talking about what will it be like afterwards, right?
Right.
Because exactly. If we have oppressive government afterwards, it doesn't help us any. But like right. You've pointed out in that, what was your original video called that you made?
Proclivity for taxing income. If there's a chat here, I don't know if there is.
There is.
Yeah, I think just hit your return key. And yeah, I've seen that film and it's really fantastic. It's a wonderfully highly well-produced video. And of course, I love the fact that it talked about the idea of New Hampshire independence before it was cool.
Right, yeah.
And then what we'll do is like, I will add that to this when we send it out as a podcast. I will add that link.
Okay. You know, so the first YouTube. One is the YouTube, and the second one is my article about the Club 75 Alliance.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm writing this down so that I'll put them all in afterwards. So that way we have the things that happened in this town hall for people to find. And so the Alliance, you're just wanting to add people. Now, where are they? How are they contacting you?
Well, I mean, it's an outreach effort. So one of the things I want to do is build up some more videos. I mean, the video that I had was really targeted to non-libertarians.
Yeah.
Just to help them understand why we want secession. But I want to do a much shorter and more focused video, just like a 30-second spot, encouraging people with 75,000 or more income to move to New Hampshire. Just really quick bullet points on why they should do that. And I want to recruit with not just people who are good at making a video, but people, hopefully Free Staters, who would like to be in the video.
Yeah, okay. And should they go to a website, or should they go to your YouTube channel, or?
Either one. They can just, okay, of course, email me. But yeah, that's another point. I want to make a website.
Okay.
About the Club 75 Alliance. And again, okay, so another thing I'm looking for is people who are good at web design. I mean, I'm good at the back end stuff. I can do the programming, but as far as designing a site to be attractive and compelling, that is not my forte. So I'm looking for someone who.
I would guess that you'll find somebody that'll be able to help you with that pretty. And you started with the category of 75 plus because they have such an obvious savings with income tax.
Right. So, I mean, the basic point, the key statistic we want to put out there is if your income is $75,000 or more, people in your group constitute 28% of taxpayers, but they're paying 90% of all the income tax.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's only going to, inside the United States system, it's just getting more extreme because other people are getting, you know, you meet people who are getting money, and it's probably coming from you.
Yes.
And that's just happening more and more, right? There's the MMT thing. You know, there's kids coming out of college every day being taught that we need, you know, need more socialism, need higher taxes, need more handouts, more government spending. And none of us can afford that. I mean, it's insane. That's one of the reasons, because I have no way to stop the federal government from spending my money. Right. In the current situation, I can't go beg them or stuff like that. I haven't paid income tax in years. I haven't paid since 99. And I just don't. But they still get money out of me in so many other ways, you know, besides income tax. So, and then the other people are paying all that stuff. So it really adds up. I think we might be losing Dave half the time because of his connection. We'll see.
I'm here. I'm just kind of making lunch.
Okay. And then we've invited other people, and we will definitely have people to come on here who have questions about this movement, questions about like specifics of what you're talking about, Steve, you know, with the income taxes and things like that. And then we'll might be able to answer them. And if people don't come on, then we just make podcasts without them and talk about them behind their back. So they have to show up. and then if we do this and record it, then people will feel like, because I get people asking questions on Signal groups or Telegraph groups, and they're literally talking to 10 or 20 people, right? And we need to get them on bigger social media or things like this, where hundreds of people will see it, if maybe thousands, right? Like when we've had some articles go out recently about our NHXit efforts through the system, right, with the constitutional amendment. Well, we had thousands of people look at those articles, right? And if we're just talking in these little tiny groups, no one will hear your concerns. You know what I mean? But this is definitely a place where if you're hearing this right now, you can join us on another week and a whole lot of people will hear you. So sometimes you're going to be able to join us, huh, Steve? I will.
Yeah, probably.
I will probably be able to make this half the time, I mean, or something like that, since it's Sunday midday. And then on Tuesday, we've been doing that where kind of hosted by Ian on Tuesday afternoon, where we've been discussing that constitutional amendment. That's where we've been doing that. And they were requesting that we not have too much town hall stuff on there. That's why this was created.
Oh,
so this can last longer. we're not discussing just the business of our thing, and we can have outsiders ask questions and things like that. And New Hampshire people like town halls. We're giving them the feeling they have democracy.
Well, they've got more with us than the central government, even if they support it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's the thing is everybody has problems with the central government. They all have their things they don't like about it. So, okay, I will put in those links, and then you're going to have some more info for that stuff, Steve, in the future as people join you. And so we can point people to that. And I'll spread that out every place I can doing NHXit stuff. Is there something that you were going to talk about, Dave, specifically? Or just no, wait I've for always, questions?
I've always got something on my mind. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that keeps coming to the forefront of my thinking is this concept of sort of leading the target. Like you don't aim your if you're flying a P-51, you don't aim your rounds at where the FW-109 is, or the FW-190 is. You aim where the FW-190 is going to be, right? You aim where the aircraft's going to be, so it flies through the rounds. And people just don't get that, right? They think, oh, well, things are going to be exactly like they are now 6 months from now. 6 months from now, things will be exactly as they are now. But it never occurs to them that something's going to change. And despite the fact that every 2 months we have this massive shock of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing, you know, is, I mean, we may have been early. There's no way to tell for sure. But the situation when this bill gets heard in February probably will be different from now, right? That's just that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
And it will not be better. The situation will have degenerated between now and then. I mean, more than likely.
Yeah.
There'll be some new, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And in the meantime, you know, we have different states fighting the current administration in Washington over stuff. And that'll change over the next few months. We'll see.
So there will be some new abuse, right? I mean, we didn't know that the federal government was going to have a vaccine mandate when we suggested this. And it came along. And I think that's the reason why we got 71% support for this on the unionleader.com poll. It was because of the vaccine mandate. I bet it would have been 61% without the vaccine mandate.
Yeah. And I'm and down a different path. I keep trying to tell people this constitutional amendment is not the only thing that we can be doing, right? I'm wanting to push the idea in general. You know, that way, like if one constitutional amendment fails this time, that's not the end, right? And if I run into somebody that thinks we should be doing a different kind of bill or something outside the government system or something like that, yes, we should do that too. We're not stuck with, you know, just one thing and nothing to do until it passes or something, right? And like you're saying, even anticipating along your path, you know, with the amendment.
I think Representative Cody Bellinger has proposed New Hampshire legislation encouraging California to secede.
Yes, I saw that. The wording was, you know, something like, you know, to encourage the state of California to secede and not take up arms against the United States. I wonder if anybody else has done that. I love that idea. What's really comical is when people in California think that they're supporting us. You know, like we won't survive without them. I'm willing to try it out.
Yeah,
I also like the thing of having California, Texas, and New Hampshire doing this, because California, you know, if you're going to say that Texas is doing it because they're neo-Confederates and slaveholders in disguise, well, does that explain California and New Hampshire? That doesn't, you know, that argument kind of falls apart.
Yeah, that's the other thing people are not seeing is that the other thing that's going to change, that's going to change between now and maybe a year from now, I don't know if it'll change in 5 months, but in a year from now, this is going to be like a mainstream thing. Probably there's going to be all these different states that have tried something like this.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that happening.
But the thing that's going to put it over the top will be the financial crisis. You know, there'll be a Venezuela moment or a Greece moment. And that's the thing that will bring it all down.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that does make sense is if the money has problems, right? Because it's connected to the government. And if that thing that they pretend is fine and dandy starts having problems.
Or maybe I'm wrong and this doesn't happen for another 30 years, but I'm gambling that I'm not wrong.
Well, yeah, things are going to happen. It's just a matter of time and stuff like that. And we're already having problems.
Here's one more link. I don't know if you guys have seen this. This is by Bob Murphy. It was sent over by Dennis, but it's talking about Texas independence. And well, what's interesting is it makes no mention. There's a section talking about what about if other states did it. And nothing about New Hampshire.
Well, when Bob Murphy was at Porkfest in New Hampshire this summer, he did a rousing speech about how secession's the best answer. And he says he's currently living in Massachusetts, but he used to live in Texas. And he wanted to support Texas secession because he thought they were the most possible.
Right. I think that's the message of this thing.
Yeah. So, and of course, that would, you know, that's fine and dandy because all that stuff applies to us too. So, yeah, if he put that down on a thing, I see that link in the chat there. So, yeah, we can promote that if I don't already have that. I thought I had already grabbed that, but we'll see. Because everything that he was saying made a lot of sense. And, of course, we might be able to pull him into our movement because we're close and we might be doing stuff that Texas isn't doing at the time. The Texas National Movement people had a party near where I am right now at Lake Whitney in Texas. Yesterday, but I missed it. I was in Louisiana at the time. Louisiana is noticeably mask crazy. Worse than most places.
Anyway, what I was getting at was page 33 of this document from Bob Murphy.
Okay.
Why focus on Texas? Shouldn't other states consider secession? This was apparently done this year, so it's a relatively up to date. It's talking about the January 6th, etc. So he definitely did this year.
Oh yeah.
And but there's no mention of secession here. And the second paragraph there. Furthermore, the eastern seaboard states north of Georgia are located too close to New York and Washington, the cities serving as the power centers of the U.S. empire. So at least for purposes of this document, he's thinking New Hampshire doesn't have a chance.
No, Estonia was what? You could practically throw a rock from Petersburg to Estonia. And I know Petersburg wasn't the capital at that time, but sometimes being closer is better.
Yeah.
Well, like recently we've had that conversation over and over again. People didn't realize, all three of us were old enough to remember when the media was telling us that Russia might take over the world. And then they lost control of people like Estonia, like you're saying, Dave, that were right there. You know, it's not like it's impossible for these things to happen. I mean, what made Russia fall apart?
Same thing that's making the U.S. fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, it's everything that we're doing that's like that is what, right? Too much socialism. You know, if they try to control us too much, our systems break down. You know, our free market breaks down.
What free market?
Yeah, I mean, what we have of it, right? Like for me, when I travel around the country, when I get near Chicago, the shelves are half empty. But that's just right there. If I get into the middle of Indiana or the middle of Illinois, everything's more back to normal. But that's where we have too much, you know, too much government and too much union thuggery. And we start having, you know, then you start having problems. Yeah, so we'll link to that and even, yeah, we could even, if you grabbed that page for me and sent it to me, like by email or something, or posted it somewhere where I could grab it, Steve, okay. You know, I'll just kind of accumulate all that.
You guys familiar with Jim Rickards?
Yeah, I hear his stuff.
He's sort of the Milo Vangelis of America, or I'm trying to think of a more prominent example. No one's ever heard of Gilas anymore. Seems like, oh, that. You know, he's good at running the numbers. Mainly, his big thing is debt to GDP ratio, I believe.
Yeah.
And so I guess, like, he's one of those people that actually put his money where his mouth is. So he moved to New Hampshire and, like, became a survivalist. He must be 75, but he's, like, doing garden stuff and living in some remote part of the seacoast here. It'd be nice to have him on board. But he's not a liberty guy. He's more like a conservative.
Mm.
But he thinks it's falling apart.
Yeah, well, they were showing, you know, when you look at numbers like when a country gets its debt to GDP above 130%, what happens? And what happens is they default on their debt. 51 out of the last 52 times that's happened. I was just listening to a podcast where somebody was describing that. So 51 out of the last, so this is in the last 200 years when a country gets that much debt to GDP. And only one time has a country in that situation not defaulted on its debt or completely inflated it away. And that's Japan right now. You know, they had debt to GDP that high, but they haven't stopped paying. But that's it. Every other time it's happened. How can this government pay its bills? It can't. None of the other countries have ever done that, have ever owed this much money and paid it in, you know, paid it with real money. So that's inevitable. I like this. It's very calming when I hear Steve typing on his keyboard. It's just a little.
Do that when they invade us, Steve. And they'll just sort of stop.
So yeah, like you've been thinking about, Dave, how we have to. So what things do you think we should be doing? So now we're going to be promoting the constitutional amendment between now and when it actually happens. Between now and November, we're not going to have anything new because November is when we hear back from the bureaucrats.
Yeah,
about the wording.
I think that's the real danger point is between now and November when something happens like to that bill that Mike submitted, right? Like it sort of comes back, the legislative services all quit and said they're not going to do it or
or they refuse to write it, or there's going to be some attempt to keep this from even getting to committee. I'm not sure how that's done in New Hampshire, but if it's ever been done, it's going to be done to this bill.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. The resistance could even be unprecedented. Yeah, we have to, you know, anything could happen.
It might, but the support is unprecedented.
Yeah. Listening to one of the recent calls where I wasn't there and Steve, Mike was talking, and he was kind of worried how many people would be showing up at the committee hearing and such. And he's already getting so many letters that he's feeling like there's going to be plenty of us there. And I think by, like you're saying, January, February, there could be a pile of us physically there. So that'll be fun. But in the meantime, yeah, week after week, just keep pushing out the info and stuff.
It seems like the amount of press is starting to become acceptable too. It's like pulling teeth getting pressed these days for anything liberty related, but this does seem to be working.
Yeah. And it's, I've seen it slowly, like, you were posting something yesterday that I hadn't seen. It's like, it just keeps, people keep grabbing the articles and repurposing it for their next article. So that'll happen for a while.
It does seem like, I mean, the really major press has not picked up on it. It's just amazing how they went. I mean, we got so much major press from like big outlets just because we put 13 people in front of a federal building in 2016, you know, during Brexit week. We don't have anything like that kind of coverage yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, Steve, on a separate thing, thinking of stuff down the road, I love this doing the stuff where we'll start, you know, we're doing things anticipating this working. I was looking up yesterday that there is no top-level domain thing with uses .nh. I was looking at the list of countries.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's available. So who amongst our crowd could start seeing what paperwork do you fill out and how do you make this happen? Say we were our own country 2 years from now or something like that, a year from now, you know, what paperwork so we could just start filling out that paperwork and start getting that ball rolling, you know, so we're ready. Mm-hmm. And then when we can publish that, and some people could be angered at our crazy ideas for being so presumptuous. Just like, Dave, you might need to start start up a militia group and start practicing. That would really anger some people. They've got, hey, we're just getting ready. We're not hurting anybody. We're just practicing.
Right? Well, that does need to be legalized in New Hampshire. There's a law against it, but I wouldn't be the guy to do that.
Well, you could start a small chapter, and you know, you're getting ready.
Well, I hope someone does. It seems like a useful thing, but yeah, it's sort of not consistent with the whole Bitcoin and Gandhi business.
Oh, by the way, anybody that hears this recording, I asked a guy named Hans on a Telegraph thread to please give me his ideas of how New Hampshire should be. And I'm hoping that he or Mike Laurie, I think it is, they're two of the people that think this cannot happen without violence. So I would like a person like that to show up on one of these shows and tell us what they're thinking.
Because, well, in a sense, but
yeah, because people keep talking about that, but they either need to write an article that we can pass out, or be on a, you know, on an interview like this that's audio recorded.
Now, if you think about it, Catalonia, I don't think the independence parties would be in power in Catalonia right now if they hadn't had violence used against them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just wanted to, because it's just something I want to discuss, because I'm willing to do anything to help New Hampshire independence that's not violent, right? And I'm running into people and saying, well, we can't do this without it being violent, so I'd like to discuss that with them, because I don't quite understand what they're talking about. But, and if they never write an article or never come on and get recorded, then their voice is never heard, so us nonviolent people will win the arguments. Just to let them know.
Be interesting to see. I mean, go ahead.
And any steps we take, like you're saying, any steps we take to fake it till we make it, or anticipating us doing this, might get reactions from the bad guys. Which I think helps. Right. We're going to get, with this constitutional amendment, we're going to get reactions from people, which shows people their true colors and shows the gun in the room.
Well, the gun in the room is the reason why this came up. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but I would not have been calling 15 reps and trying to get them to submit this kind of legislation if it hadn't been for the big Bitcoin raid by the FBI on New Hampshireites.
Yeah. So some of you guys are slowly adding reps that are in support of this bill, and I think it's up to three of them that are co-sponsors. So that'll slowly grow between now and January. So that'll be fun to document.
Yeah, I wonder who the third co-sponsor is.
He mentioned the name, Mike did, but I couldn't write it down at the time. I was driving when I heard that. So I could find it. No, I can find it right now. Let me find it. Because Alu has a document that we're all editing together. And so he got, Mike got contacted by, I think, Dennis Green. And I don't know where what he represents. And he is now a co-sponsor along with Mike and Matt.
Awesome. Yeah, I think there are others that will come forward later.
Yeah, and that was just somebody he added this week. So, well, some of them don't even know what's happening yet. So, and then people like Alu and you are helping fix that. Well, I even want to publish people's objections to it. You know, give us your public comment about how this is not a good idea so we can get you on record. And then maybe we can ask them why, you know.
Yeah, I imagine how little power any Estonian politicians have who are all dead set against it. Oh, no, we can't be independent. We got to have Moscow running our lives. How many of those still have office? Probably not any of them.
I know the guys down here in Texas are trying to tell guys, you shouldn't be running for governor. You should be supporting Texit, and then you're running for president. Which would be much more exciting.
One of the things I really enjoy about this whole process is how to attack New Hampshire independence. It's really a hardened target in a sense, because first of all, you have to attack the whole idea of people even being allowed to vote, right? Mm-hmm. Like you actually went and voted on unionleader.com that we shouldn't be able to vote on this.
Yeah, we can't even vote. Yeah.
Who cast a vote like that, right? I mean, we expected it would be even more people than what, but it wasn't a very large number. And then, of course, the defeatism that just drips out of people who are against this in some cases, not all of them, obviously, but they have to get their New Hampshire rights. They're like, oh, woe is us. We can't. We're weak. We're nothing. We're unimportant. Oh, really? I didn't know that. I thought we were leading the nation, right? You know, it's pretty much every metric you'd want to lead the nation in forever. But within outsiders, when they, like, I was calling into a Massachusetts talk show and I mentioned this, and the next call, of course, was attacking it. And they're like, this is the stupid idea. This is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And then I kind of will take them over. And they won't be able to do flood relief without us, you know. Really, that's all the people in New Hampshire listening to that just change their minds and join the independence camp. Of course we can do our own flood relief.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody was telling me this week, posting that you know, we wouldn't survive later, you know, and that sort of stuff. So then I posted the per capita income by state. And according to this stat, New Hampshire is number 9, right below Washington and right above Wyoming. You know, we're not poor in New Hampshire. It's not like we'd leave and we wouldn't know what to do. We become one of the richest nations in the world per person.
And people spend so much time attacking the, well, it's too small. It couldn't possibly. Well, you know, it's like no one in America even apparently knows that there's all these independent countries that are 1 million people or less.
Yeah, there's places that, I mean, why would we not be as prosperous, or, you know, they act like we're going to starve. Why would we not be as prosperous as Caribbean nations?
They've never heard of the concept of trade. They've never heard of the nation of Estonia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then, none of us that are supporting New Hampshire leaving thinks we should cut off trade to any other nations or any other states.
Well, we'd be
none
able
of us
to trade,
want that.
We'd be able to trade with Cuba and Iran for the first time in 60 years each or whatever.
Yeah, would it be a problem for people if we were getting oil imported from Iran?
Wouldn't be a problem for me.
Dave. Okay, I hadn't even thought about this. You know how New Hampshire has the highest liquor sales, right, per person? Because of all the people that come in.
We send the liquor to send the liquor.
Cuban cigars in New Hampshire.
And we could send our liquor to Iran. That would overthrow their government.
That's even better. But yeah, I was thinking, can you imagine if when you come over the border from Maine to New Hampshire, you know, so one of the things I'm picturing is that we could have a border crossing as simple as what the U.S.-Canadian border crossing was before 9/11. Can you picture that?
Yeah,
that's easy
for people to picture. That's not radical.
And so when you come from Maine and you're going to Massachusetts, you get on the New Hampshire toll road and you can just have a toll booth there where they also give you New Hampshire tourism stuff. And you go through there, they look at some stuff, you know, say hi, welcome to New Hampshire. Are you traveling through, you know, you're passing through, are you staying, you know? And then we also, then they get off the first service plaza where they can buy their liquor and their Cuban cigars.
Yeah, people should be like, they could get a Cuban cigar on the way in if they want one. They can buy one. They can buy an Iranian, you know, like a nice Persian rug. On the way
you're
out,
right?
You know, made in Tehran. First time people have seen that in their lives.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We need to be the end of the. We have to make a map with the end of the Silk Road ending in New Hampshire. It travels through places like Iran, and then it comes here. That's where it ends.
Imagine the kind of gun tourism we could get here. I mean, you could, like, if you could, people could fire rocket launchers, you know, at a gun range. I mean, it's a big enough deal right now that they can fire machine guns, but we could add all kinds of things to the mix without federal gun laws.
Yeah, and then if Texas secedes, then we can have a special stuff between us that only happens in Texas and New Hampshire.
I don't think this is like the fall of the British Empire. It's like the fall of the Soviet Empire. I think it's all 50 states. Yeah. So, I mean, some of them might form regions or whatnot, but the United States, I don't think there will be a government called the United States government in 20 years.
You know, that makes a lot of sense because it fits the thing of it's an empire falling apart. And because, and then it'd be more sudden like that. Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, but we just, you know, just look at the world. Like, don't trust headlines, trust history.
So we're going to do this again next Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, right?
So if
people think that what Dave Ridley is saying right now is completely ridiculous, we will take your call. And you can find, I'm going to make this link prominent on nhexit.org. That was Shana's idea. And we're posting it at all the other social media spots too. So we can get that more prominent. Last week, you were afraid of inviting too many people and getting overwhelmed, right, Dave?
Yes, we don't have that problem.
And then you invited a few people in a few places, but they did. None of our opposition showed up. Just people that support it right now.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I could have gotten a decent number of people by inviting a lot of friendlies, right? But I just didn't want to overwhelm the opposition.
That makes sense that we should, if we don't have the other, this could just be kind of, well, it's a town hall. It'll have people that agree with secession, right? It'll be a mixture.
I actually invited 20 random state reps.
Okay, so that's what we'll, so if anybody has a problem when they hear this recording, they can join us that way.
We shouldn't even be talking about this.
And we'll say, unless you come on and interrupt us, we're going to talk about it every week.
You know what, I guess I should go ahead and do a general invite, you know, to all the different liberty groups or whatnot, and go ahead and just try to get people here. And then later on, some of them will know people they can invite.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've had the recording going for 50 minutes now. Should we close off and meet back next week?
Sure. And I had one last thought. This Slovene independence activist Anna Stanitz said that it's never too early to start talking about the monetary thing you're going to do. I'm not sure exactly what she meant by that. If she was talking about, you know, how much you're going to print or how you're going to have your own currency or not have it. But she said that really burned Slovenia when they didn't plan a lot of stuff out and things they were caught by surprise with independence. And I worry about that happening here, just being caught by surprise. The government does, you know, something sufficiently bad to make, you know, a stampede for the exits and no one's ready.
Yeah, because we want to have a free market in different currencies, but yeah, what kind of systems could we set up ahead of time?
Yeah, I don't know how we get ready, and I don't have the capability of making it happen, even if I knew how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely something to think about.
I wrote her, and she did write me back, but then I wrote her again with more questions, and she never got back to me the second time.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
What's that person's Dave? What's that person's name? That woman's name?
Anna Stonitz.
Could you put her name in the chat? Just
Let me write it down here. I'm seeing my chat working. I'm not seeing anything. I'm typing, but nothing's happening. Oh, I see what I'm supposed to do. Let's see.
Yeah, this is new software for us, so.
Oh, Anastomic. Okay, all right, cool.
And so how did you find this person, Dave?
I see her as a musician, pop singer. That's presumably not the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it must be. Because she doesn't look old enough. I don't know if we lost Dave. We'll see. Yeah, we'll have to look up which one he was talking about. Okay. When I look at Dave's profile here. Did you
Hey, I think I found something here. I'm going to I think this is what Dave was referring to.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because that's a big thing is, you know, we can be talking about that and setting that up now before anything happens, right? Hmm. I mean, it doesn't hurt to be able to do other currencies and other things and have another system going. All right. Well, I think we might have lost Dave. I think I'm going to stop my recording this week. Did I get Dave again?
I'm back, but I have nothing to add.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to stop my recording, and we'll meet again next week. See you guys. I'm saying goodbye to our recording audience.
All right. Thanks for being here, both of you.
Yeah, take care. Bye.